Good day. We are here on the Futures Now podcast powered by Anchor Radio and Aurora IT. I'm your host, Warren Washington. Today is August 29th, 2018, and you are on the Futures Now podcast. Like I said, powered by Anchor Radio and Aurora IT, streaming on all places that stream podcasts, including Apple Music, Google Play, and Spotify. You can follow us at Aurora Infotech on all social media platforms. Again, that is at Aurora Infotech, and this is the Futures Now podcast. Before we jumped into today's topics, I wanted to give a quick shout out to the king of pop, Michael Jackson. Today would be his 60th birthday. So we want to thank you and for all that you did and contribute to not only music, but fashion and culture and the history of the American landscape. Again, this is the Future Is Now podcast. Today we have a special guest feature, the VP of Sales and Marketing over at Aurora IT. So I'm just going to turn it over and let them introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Corbin Kruzek. As Warren stated, I'm the VP of Sales and Marketing at Aurora IT. I also have a couple side ventures. I'm a variety streamer of video games on Twitch.tv. My handle is Ahknu. It's A-H-K-N-U. I also am an investor both in, you know, regular stocks, bonds, things like that, and also crypto assets. So I have probably about three ventures that I'm working on. And a lot of expertise in the marketing area, which is what we will be talking about today. So, Warren, if you want to kick off the strategic marketing talk, that'd be great.
Perfect. Thank you again, Corbin, for joining us. And again, for those of you who didn't hear, that's Ahknu. And then you can follow him on LinkedIn and some of his other social media profiles. Just search for Corbin Kruzek. Make sure to have his name and all the tags and all that great stuff in the distribution of this podcast. So like Corbin spoke to today, we're going to talk about marketing. A lot about marketing, advertising, and kind of what is marketing in today's landscape. How do you use marketing strategically in order to get your brand image and your ideas and your concepts out into the world and distribute it in a way that actually helps your overall brand? So that's going to go into what we call strategic marketing. A lot of people don't really understand that term or that concept, so I wanted to break that down a little bit. I think first, to understand strategic marketing, you really need to understand your business and what it is that you do at the business, how you're going to bring value to your customers, and who your customers are. So strategic marketing is the marketing plan and overall strategy that your organization wants to follow in order to grow your organization, to grow your audience, to grow your consumers, to grow your client base. And part of that is having a really solid understanding of this term and how to properly invest in advertising, invest in marketing, not just to get seen by a lot of people or to go viral, but how that's going to come together and bring your idea, your vision, actually bring it to light and make it a tangible item. So I pulled up a couple things, one's from Forbes, and I kind of wanted to jump into that. And it breaks strategic marketing down into six steps. One is your business objective, meaning what is it that you sought out to do when you started this business, when you had this idea, when you're spinning the wheels and you're coming up with your business plan, and you're coming up with the funding, and you're coming up with the employees and all those things? What was your overall objective? Meaning, type of things, or was it bigger than that? Was it to bring more people?
I think you actually just cut out for a second. If you'd back up on that last point.
Okay. My apologies for those that couldn't hear me. We're talking about the six steps in strategic marketing, the first being the overall objective of the business. What is it that when you started your organization, you sought out to do? And a lot of us as entrepreneurs, you yourself as an investor and an entrepreneur that has their hands on a lot of different things, there has to be a meaning and an overall goal behind why you do what you do. And yes, it's not just the salary, right? So you gotta think about that when you go into it. What is your actual objective? And I know for a lot of us is to make money, but you gotta take it a step further than that. Why do you wanna make money? What are you gonna do with that money? What is the idea that you're trying to shoot out into the world? So that leads into my second point, which is marketing priorities. Let's talk about that for a second. If you have a budget to market, where do you want to market? Who is your target audience? But more importantly, what is your market segment? Meaning that if you want to go over after the healthcare market, you got to break it down a little bit further, because healthcare is such a wide topic. Let's say you're in a business that sells things to nurses. So you want to go after where those nurses will be at, where they're going to spend their money at, where they're actually going to be able to see your content. So you got to figure that out, and you're going to say, okay, what are our priorities in our marketing budget? Where are our verticals? Where are our market segments that we want to reach? And there's so many different things that can go into that. You, as a business owner, really need to understand and prioritize where you want to spend your money. For some people, it's going to be social media. For some people, it's going to be traditional radio and television advertising.
Yep.
For others, it might be a whole nother vertical. But that really, you got to think about that.
And it's going to be different, right? Like, for each individual business, depending on what you're selling, like who your customers are, all those types of things. So you definitely have to reflect on your business and what will best suit you, correct?
That is 100% correct. Some businesses are not tailored to be on Instagram. So you're not going to try to rework everything so you could, you know, do well on Instagram. No, you're going to have to find a vertical that works for you and your business. And every business is different. I like to think of businesses like children, because those are our children. We start something, we raise it, we grow it, and we want to see it.
Yeah. If you don't have if you don't have kids, a car maybe that you really like, you know, an animal, a pet, right?
Anything that you built and that you developed from the infancy stages, and you saw it when it was just incubating, and to where you want to get it, you know, long term. And that could be a car. That could be any project that you start. That could be a podcast. That could be a, like, your Twitch, right? That could be anything. So, I mean, for those who don't have children, kind of put it, like, in something creative form that you resonate with, that you want to grow. So, and that goes into our goals, right? Your marketing goals. Some of those goals could be impact. It could be outreach. They could be awareness. It could be getting people to be ready for a cause, getting people to be behind an activity or a social event. So you got to figure out what your goals are, right? What is it that you're trying to sell, and how should you best sell that? And you got to have really defined goals, short-term goals, long-term goals. You have to have goals for each quarter that you're in business. And then long-term, meaning more than 36 months. How do you see yourself in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? So you got to really break those down and really focus on your goals. And that goes into point four, which is your marketing strategy. And marketing strategy is, it could be a variation of things, but what it is you have a budget and you have those three things I just talked about, and you want to know how are we going to do this? How am I going to bring my team together to innovate, to grow, to retain, to harvest, to reflect, and then to exit the marketplace? A lot of people talk about exit strategy. That is something that is going to go into your marketing strategy, and it should be on your mind. If not the forefront of your mind, it should be somewhere on there, a low aspect of what you're thinking about, because you do want to have an exit strategy going into business.
Yeah, and things don't last forever. You know, some of the biggest brands are now out of business. So yeah, no, that's a great point that you bring up. And it's definitely something to think about when it comes to marketing.
For sure. Cause you're going to have a 3-year window, mostly 18 to 36 months for when it's like, when you're really red hot, when you're on fire, you're at the peak of your organization, and you want to capitalize on that moment as long as you can. So develop a plan that said, okay, we're hot now. Let's try to stay hot for 3 years or so, and then figure out what we need to do after that.
Yeah,
because things don't last forever, right? You got to be realistic and understand that even if your business lasts 20, 25 years, there's going to be a window of time where you're really bringing in the money, and you want to know how best to handle that. So,
and there's going to also be a period of time where it's pretty dry, right? It's like you could go on a dry spell, and it's like, well, how do I market myself? Maybe a rebranding, right? Maybe a change in, like, the avenues that you're using, the environment, your message, right? So you definitely got to be wary of the different stages that you're going to come across in the business life cycle.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Corbin, how to maneuver and navigate and, like, be in that moment, but know, like, okay, we have an exit strategy. We have a plan. We anticipated this so-called downtime. And then that goes into your key actions. Your key actions are going to be specific things that you execute during the strategy, right? They're going to be specific tactics. They're going to be the details. They're going to be the crossing your T's and dotting your I's. it's really going to not just be, okay, cool, we're going to invest in Spotify. Well, okay, you've made that decision. What are going to be the key actions to get you to do that? And then once you make that decision, what is your marketing, what is it going to look like? And you need to have that all the way down to the I's being dotted and the T's being crossed. So those key actions, that's important. And then the last point is going to be dependencies and risks. And this is something that can really become your shortcoming. Because when you understand your dependencies and your risks, I think you really start to understand where your money's going. So let me break this down a little bit further. So in your overall marketing plan, your overall marketing strategy, is going to be if X happens, then Y happens. That's dependencies, right? Things change every day that you don't see coming. So to best, to best understand the future landscape, you have to say, well, I know the Super Bowl is going to be on this day. So let's build a marketing strategy that is dependent on that. I am depending on the Super Bowl going off at the time that they said they were going to go off, so I can have a strategy around that. And you're going to lower your risk when you pick something like that because, you know, it's pretty dependable. The Super Bowl coming around every year around the same time is going to be a big draw. It has a lot of TV viewership, a lot of marketing dollars, a lot of advertising money is being spent, not just on the event itself, but on all the media coverage and events that are going on around that event.
Yeah.
So if you pick something that you can depend on, you're going to really lower your risk. So you got to think about your dependencies and you have to think about your risk when you develop an overall strategic marketing.
But also, really quick to play devil's advocate, you don't want to put all your marketing eggs into one basket, right? You don't want to spend your entire budget on, say, a Super Bowl ad if that's not where your target market is at, because you're risking a lot, right?
Yes.
And you're dependent on one area. So I do like the Super Bowl. The commercials are awesome. But you also have to consider who watches the Super Bowl. And if that's not, you know, your target market, you might not want to spend your entire advertising dollars. I think that's another side of risk that, you know, people look at minimizing risk, but you also have to watch out for that side of risk at the same time.
Exactly. Exactly, Corbin. Exactly. Going into your risks, thinking about your risks, saying, okay, this is good. We're going to get a lot of viewership if we do this, but will it touch the people that we want it to touch in order to sell our product or our service or our idea? So that goes, so you really got to think about the dependencies and risk, and you have to understand that life is crazy. Things happen that you don't plan on, and that needs to be accounted and put into data when you develop your strategic marketing plan. So I'm glad that we covered those six topics that go into strategic marketing. Hopefully our audience has a better understanding of what it is and how they can implement these things into their business. So I want to turn it over to Corbin because he has some real world examples of how strategic marketing works. And before I do that, just my last point on this is strategic marketing is all the things that you do as an entrepreneur that are going to be seen and heard, and how you want to be seen and heard, how you want your brand to be perceived, because perception is reality. And you want your entire team to be on the same page. Everybody that works for you, every partnership that you have, every business relationship that you have, you want those people to be on the same plan when it comes to your marketing scheme. So that goes into the strategic marketing. You don't want to go out and do a radio advertisement and it says one thing, but then your employees through word of mouth are saying something completely different. That's not going to match up. So when you develop this plan, you want to make sure everyone involved, every team player, everybody on your team and in your organization is on the same track. And that's why we broke it down into those six steps. I think that was a great way to put it. And I think Corbin has some better examples to really get people to grasp the subject.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, everybody go back, listen right to the whole points again, right? Because there's a lot of really good information in there. The three big things that, like, I took away just listening, right, is it's important to understand your message that you're broadcasting, right, and ensuring that it aligns with your brand, aligns with your value proposition, aligns with what you're trying to do. You have to take your consumers into account, who's going to be consuming your message. Where are those people at? You know, what are they looking for? What piques their interest? Those types of things. And then last is the environment. Where are you going to be marketing? what avenues are you going to be marketing, what channels. It doesn't always have to be physical marketing. It doesn't always have to be a commercial. It could be even a souvenir or a t-shirt, something like that, that people wear, a viral marketing campaign. So three big things: message, who's consuming it, and the environment that you're broadcasting it in. I think if you kind of hone in on those, use the 6 points that we talked about previously, you can definitely come up with a pretty strong plan to market your business effectively. And so, as Warren said, I just have a bunch of different examples. These are kind of all over the place, right? So in no particular order, we're going to just go off about like a bunch of different types of marketing that's going on currently, you know, in movies, TV shows, commercials, all those things, because the marketing game is changing a lot from, you know, people don't really watch commercials anymore. You can skip pretty much every commercial, or it's you watch it for 5 seconds and you skip it, or you just get an ad block on your computer, right? So how are businesses tapping into consumers nowadays when people really aren't listening to commercials? And there's a bunch of different ways to do it. So one of the ones that I find really interesting is product placement. We were talking about this earlier, honestly. So product placement is basically when a company, they have a product or a service, something like that, and they place it into a medium, you know, that you wouldn't necessarily expect it to see. So it's not like a commercial, but, you know, you would put it into a movie or a TV show or a music video. And you can see these in a lot of the big name movies. It's just product placement, product placement, product placement. Some movies are over the top with product placement, like some of the Marvel movies. I think Iron Man is one where I think he drives an Audi. Like, the fact that I can remember this off the top of my head shows how like big the product placement was. I'm pretty sure he uses an HP laptop. But by those companies placing their products and marketing their products in this movie, they can basically invoke a sense of, oh, wow, Iron Man uses, you know, these products, or Tony Stark uses these products. So I should start using these products because I'll be more like, you know, my favorite superhero. So that's kind of a covert way that people are placing products nowadays outside of commercials, that, you know, people aren't necessarily keen to, but they're still consuming the content in the same way. I don't know if you have an example of a movie that you're thinking of, or a music video or anything like that.
Well, that was a perfect example with the Marvel movies, in particular Iron Man, right? Everybody knows the Iron Man R-A Audi, right? That is,
yep.
Immediately you say Iron Man, I think about the car.
The yeah.
Right. I think some of the bigger brands that really do that well are Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Because you're able to really get a not just a marketing campaign, not just a commercial, because, yeah, a commercial comes on TV, what do? We hop on our phones, right? So how are you going to get this message across? Well, if your product is in the movie that I'm watching, that I'm glued to, that I'm not supposed to be on my phone if I'm in the movie theater for the entire 90 minutes, 2 hours,
yeah,
what it is, you're going to see that advertisement and it's going to resonate with you, because it's not just, oh, I should drink Coke. It's, oh, look, Tony Stark's drinking Coke, so I want to be more like Tony Stark. I'm a bad Coke. That is just something that ingrained into you. A really good example, you see this a lot in music with fashion and particular type of lifestyle brands like Ciroc. Ciroc is not just,
yep,
alcohol. It is an actual lifestyle brand. What you see is what, like the music video, right? The flashy cars, the jewelry, the women, the excited atmosphere, the party atmosphere. That's what you're buying when you buy Ciroc. You're not necessarily just buying the alcohol, because you could buy cheaper alcohol, right? You're, yep, really buying that brand image. And I think they did a really good job of using media outlets to be their brand image, to get their ideas off, to do their marketing and their advertising. Because if you see it in all the music videos, right, and you see it in all the clubs, and if you see it in all this like really high intense party atmosphere, then you're going to say Ciroc is equated to partying, and I like partying, so therefore I like Ciroc. So that's kind of what that example would be.
Yeah, and so,
I like the movie example.
Yeah, and as a business, like looking at it from the business perspective, like I'm a business owner, and I'm choosing between a commercial and a product placement in a movie or a music video. Okay, so price wise, they're actually relatively similar. I don't have exact dollar figures, but it ultimately depends on, you know, what you're like. If you're buying a Super Bowl ad, obviously that's going to be very expensive. If you're doing a product placement in Iron Man, obviously that's going to be very expensive, but they're relatively comparable in price from a budget standpoint. So me as a business owner, I'm choosing the product placement in Iron Man 100% of the time. And the reason why is because the replay value of the Iron Man movie is a lot higher than like my witty 1 minute or 2 minute commercial, right? Like,
all right,
kids,
Corbin,
that are obsessed with Iron Man.
Corbin, that's a great point. I'm gonna let you touch on that point after we come back from break. Again, this is the Future Is Now podcast. We'll be back with you in a few moments.
So,
hello everyone, this is the Future Is Now podcast. I'm your host Warren Washington. I'm here with Corbin from Aurora IT. We were just talking about product placement and different outlets that you could put your products in, and Corbin was speaking about the replay value. Something that I think is very important that maybe our audience, I want them to go back into a little bit so they fully understand what he was saying.
Yeah, so basically, as a business owner, I'm looking at the two options, right? Commercial for a minute, minute and a half, or product placement, and they're about the same price. You know, like, I might reach the same amount of users, but replay value of the movie is much higher than your 1 minute and 30 second commercial. So I'm going to take, you know, the Iron Man movie and the Super Bowl commercial because we've touched on those previously, right? So you might remember like Doritos Super Bowl commercials or Bud Light Super Bowl commercials, and you get the overall idea of the brand that they always advertise at the Super Bowl, but you don't really remember the content. When you advertise or you place a product in a movie or a music video, you remember the car, like you were saying, the computer, and who it's tied to, who it's associated with. So that's kind of the difference between the two. And the replay value of the movie is much higher than, you know, the 1 minute and 30 second commercial, because the movie has so much more production that goes into it and production value outside of just the product and the advertisement. So that's kind of like one of the big shifts that I personally have noticed a lot in marketing, is a shift from commercials and advertisement and spending your advertising money there to product placement. And you really don't have to have a ton of money to find your target market and put your product in front of them. Like, a perfect example is Twitch, right? So there's a bunch of small name streamers on Twitch that would love to promote products. They have thousands of viewers, 20,000 viewers, stuff like that. So you can sign a really small deal with these people, right? They'll promote your product on this platform, and then it's almost like a word of mouth sort of thing, right? So 20,000 people watch the stream, then they go buy the product, and then you got to think about the trickle down effect, right? So then their friends see them using this product, and then they're like, oh, where did you see that? And it's like, oh, one of my favorite streamers, you know, uses this product. So then all of a sudden that friend is validated to buy that product because one of the big name streamers uses that product. So it's a different way to access customers. If you're visualizing, right, like the way that you're accessing customers, it's a different way to access customers. But it actually probably works more effective than an annoying advertisement, right, that people skip anyway. So I just see a shift in the way that advertising is happening. And it's starting to be a little bit more subtle and a lot more baked into products and, you know, basically the media.
The media outlets, that's a great point, Corbin, yeah. Because I like the Twitch example. For instance, when you buy, for the people that have done this before, when you buy airtime, TV advertising time, you have some idea, but honestly, you have no idea who's watching that particular program and that particular time. You have an overall understanding of, okay, this is my demographic. They're in these geographic locations. But when the TV's on, you really don't know how many people are in the room, who's watching it. You don't know that consumer as well as, let's give your example of the Twitch platform. Those 20,000 loyal fans of the Twitch streamer that watch, we know who those people are.
Yeah. There's a live chat. There's a live chat going. So, like, they react live to the product, right?
Exactly. And they're loyal to that Twitch streamer. They are fans of his, So whatever that person associates themselves with or chooses to sell and advertise, there's automatically going to be a loyalty built in. And you can track that data. You know for a fact that when I pay to have my product on this outlet, I am going to be seen by this many people. But more importantly, I know who those people are and I know their buying habits. So it's more cost effective to start to advertise and market in these non-traditional media outlets because they're going to show you more ROI. Everything's about ROI, return on investment. You know, if I pay X amount of dollars, I'm going to be seen by this many people. And then it's up to you as a business to try to figure out how to convert those views into sales. So I like the non-traditional media outlets. I like the Twitch. I like the YouTube. I like the
social media. YouTube's another good example. I was just about to say that. Mm-hmm. You did not. Yeah, YouTube's another big one. And that goes even further than Twitch, right? Twitch is kind of gaming right now. They're expanding into real life, expanding into music production. But, like, YouTube is even more expansive, right? You can watch cat memes for two hours and then get product placements for Iams and, you know, all that type of stuff.
It goes deep, yeah. I mean, YouTube is a great outlet. You see a lot of videos with over 100 million views. And that is relatively cheap compared to a Super Bowl ad that would have that large of a viewership globally. YouTube, yeah. You're able to do that in the comfort of your home or your work or on your phone, and you can get that many people to view your product or view your idea with a lot less, you know, monies spent to get that way. So I really like that we touched on that. There's a few trending topics I wanted to discuss during this segment that I know you did some research on, and that really goes into strategic marketing and what it is. And what you see in the news and what you see in your timeline when you're scrolling through social media, that is part of the strategic marketing plan or rollout is what we like to call it in the industry. So I wanted to touch on some of these trending topics that are happening this week and how that goes into strategic marketing. I think you have a really good example of what Bush is doing right now.
Yeah.
In Starbucks. Not Bush. Yeah. Bush, the alcohol company.
Bush Light. So I don't know if anyone has heard, right? But Bush Lights are now Bush Lattes. And it's hilarious because they launched the product campaign the same day that the pumpkin spice latte came out from Starbucks.
Our fans that aren't following or might not be hip on Twitter, Twitter is a great outlet. So what happened was Bush, like Corbin said, they rolled out their new Bush latte the same day that Starbucks traditionally rolls out their pumpkin spice latte to get ready for the fall season. So it was a good way to capitalize on a non-traditional competitor, but at the same time, to play into their space, to play into their fan base and audience, and to help your company trend and go viral through the strategic marketing campaign, just adding latte, Bush latte.
And like, it's so much deeper. Like, so there's a bunch of different levels to it, right? Like, so, I mean, I went to college, and as you know, that's a beer on campus that is relatively inexpensive, right? So you got to think about their target market, who they're marketing to, and like what type of stuff they find funny and interesting. And it's like, it's just such a perfect thing to their crowd, which are young college students, because like, it's absolutely hilarious. Like, they love Starbucks lattes. Like, a lot of them called them Bush lattes previously. I don't know if anyone has heard that term previously, but I personally have. And like, it just plays perfectly, and it really costs them minimal dollars. They're advertising like they would normally. They had to design a new label, and they had to print it. Yeah, and they had to print it on the can. And I'm sure they're going to switch back to Busch Light, right? But it's just funny that you know, they could execute like what I view as a very intelligent like marketing plan, really inexpensively, just by capitalizing on what other people are doing in the market with like the season and the trends and things like that. So I
and they figured out who their consumer base was, and they knew, oh, if we do this simple play on words, it will catch, it will be funny, it will go viral, and we'll capitalize on this larger consumer base of Starbucks coffee drinkers. We'll be able to capitalize on their consumers and audience as well, and then bring our you know, our loyal consumers into this fold and make it something that is enjoyable and fun to participate in when they do decide to purchase this product.
And they're still staying true to themselves. Like, they're not changing the brand. They're not actually making coffee. Like, it's literally just a change in the name, right? But just this name and change in name is enough for them to capture an audience that maybe might have gone to a different drink, right? So
exactly, and then they bring in their older fans and consumer base as well. They bring them into this thing that they can now be a part of, this viral thing that could be a part
Like, I've been calling them Busch Lattes for years.
Exactly.
You got people, you know, there are people out there that are tweeting like, oh my gosh, like, where's my money? I came up with this, right?
And that's feeding into their base. That's feeding into their viral campaign. The more people talk about it, the larger their audience is, and it's going to grow. And now,
so now you have those people tweeting on behalf of you for free. You don't even have to pay for it.
100%. And like you said, it's cost effective. You're using creativity to do something that you're already going to spend the money anyway, right? They're already going to spend it on advertising and marketing and rebranding and even printing. You know, had they just changed the logo and printed it on the can, that's going to cost money, right?
Yeah, like I know they did a camo can 1 year, right? So it's like, it's literally an equivalent amount of money as a camo can, but I think Busch Lattes are a lot more funny than changing your can to camo. So
is that, 100%. I completely agree with that. I think that's a great example of strategic marketing. So let's dig into that a little bit. So with this concepts that we spoke to, right? Well, let's go back to the six steps. When you're talking about your key actions, you're talking about your marketing strategy, you're talking about your priorities and your business objective. Your strategic marketing has to go into all of these great things that you're doing, right? The podcast, the digital magazines, the advertising, the networking events, the charitable organizations that you're involved in, some of the social aspects that you're involved in, whether it's a formal event or informal event where people get together and they try to have fun, but still there's some sort of overall theme. I like to bring up a good example of this, and I'm not just saying this because I'm in the music space and I own a company in the music space. I really like how certain musicians and artists do their rollout. And I know these are kind of hot topics, but I'll stick to one that's more trending in the news. The Nicki Minaj versus Travis Scott thing that's been going on Twitter and social media is not a coincidence. These things that you see are strategically put into place because they have a rollout, and rollout is means we have an album or a product or services that we want to push and promote. So during this short window of when we launch the product, we're going to go on radio, we're going to go on TV, we're going to go on you know, the internet, and we're going to advertise our product. But we don't want to do it in a way where we're just saying, hey, I'm Nicki Minaj, buy my
album. You don't want to shove it down their throat like a normal advertisement. You do it differently.
You do it differently. You incorporate your Queen Radio, which is her radio outlet that she has on Apple Music. You incorporate, you know, you're going on Jimmy Kimmel Live. You're doing this charitable event. You're going to go do this concert. You're going to link up with this musician, and you guys are going to do a joint venture. Oh, by the way, I have a misunderstanding with this other artist who so happens to be coming out with products and music at the same time that I do. So we're going to leverage each other's audience, and we're going to cross promote and co-brand, but we're going to do it in such a way that it doesn't seem that's what we're doing. People can get engaged in the drama. They can get engaged in, oh, I like my artist versus, they can get involved in these ideas on a personal level, and but they're still seeing your product over and over again during your rollout phase. And it's been proven that by doing these things, you're actually going to touch a wider audience than a traditional media rollout or a traditional music video or a traditional print medium, right? You're going to actually be able to engage and incorporate your audience into something that's bigger than just your album or bigger than just your tour or bigger than just your clothing line that you're trying to promote. You're
gonna engage them. You engage them, most importantly. I think one of the biggest problems with a lot of advertising avenues is they don't engage the customer, right? It's like you look at it, okay, big deal. But these people are actively engaged in the conflict, actively engaged in the marketing, and it's brilliant.
And it's 100%, Corbin, you hit the nail on the head. Engagement is key. When you engage with your fans and you engage with your audience, you're building something that is going to have longevity because they were going to remember. Let's go back to Michael Jackson, the King of Pop. He was as big as he was because he gave the people – this is so cliche. He gave them what they wanted.
I knew exactly what you were going to say, and I was like, say it.
Just say it. Just say it with your chest. No, inside joke. But 100%, right? You're giving them access to the things that they're not going to get from a traditional. And again, King of Pop, he sold soda, sold Pepsi. He was very involved in a lot of these different brands because they can engage with him. They can not only listen to his music, but they can reach out and touch him. They can be involved in the drama or feel involved in the drama that was his life. And that's what's really going to, you know, give you something that lasts longer than just your album release, right? People are going to listen to the music. They're going to play it for a week and they're going to go into the next thing. But now people are engaged in this drama that they're going to remember years from now, right? And that's what you're doing, and that's part of your strategic marketing. And it doesn't have to be that big. It could be as simple as, like I said, the charitable organizations that you're involved in, the nightlife that you're involved in, the things you do in your day-to-day. You want to do them in such a way that you're not just giving an elevator pitch, right? You're not just, oh, 30-second pitch. No, you're giving them a brand image. You're giving them something that the people can resonate with. And they don't necessarily have to buy right away to be on your side or to be in your brand. They could just be engaged with the conversation that you're choosing to have, and that way they support you. So, you know, whether it's the next album or the next product or service or when they can afford it, you're stuck in that person's mind, so they're going to go with you. And I think that ties into digital media and how to best leverage digital media in your marketing strategy. You really want – the internet's not going anywhere. It's only going to get bigger.
And more complex.
So you want to be on the internet. Yeah. You want to start – if you haven't started, you want
to – I think you might have cut out.
Traditional – you know where you're at. You're able to touch people all over the world that you normally would not have been able to touch before. And we are living in the time where even 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, the internet was not as big as it is now. Now it is such a huge thing, and there's so many different outlets that you can jump on and utilize and work and figure out the algorithms for. That's really what it is. You want to be on the internet. You want to leverage the internet. And I get a lot of questions from clients like, well, how do I leverage Instagram? Like, I have an Instagram page, but nobody follows me. Nobody likes. Make better content. Make content that isn't just saying, oh, buy me. Make content that resonates with your audience, that gives them not just a product, but gives them something that they can use and believe in their day-to-day life. They know I follow this person because they do this. I buy products from this person because they use part of their money to do this. So you got to focus on your content and don't say, well, Instagram doesn't like me and they kick. No, you got to figure out the algorithm. If the algorithm, you know, kitties, like, yeah, kitten cats and all that stuff is going to play really well this week. We'll build content around that. Be smart, be creative, be funny, and don't let their trending topics discourage you from jumping on these outlets. Incorporate them into what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to really help you get to the next level. And people like to see that you're smart and you're with the times. You're not trying to sell them something you made 10 years ago. Even if it is something that we made 10 years ago, you got to market around current ideas and philosophies.
Yeah, like, can you use what's happening in the news and the media? Can you leverage Bush lattes? Can you leverage Ciroc's, you know,
exactly,
persona, right? Like, I think rappers do that a lot, right? Or other musicians do that a lot. It's like Ciroc has a certain persona. You put it in your music video. There you go, right? So, exactly.
Yep. Uh-huh. Now you have that audience as part of your audience. Now you're part of that bigger idea. You're part of that lifestyle brand. That's why it's a smart relationship to partner up with those type of companies to do your advertising, because now you guys are sharing not just a product, but a lifestyle, an idea. That's how some of your guys' biggest celebrities, that's what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, but they're so good at it, a lot of people don't even see it as that. They just see it as, oh, I get to watch Kim Kardashian on Keeping, you know, I get to watch that every week. I love it. I love the show. I love her family. But pay attention to what you see, and then you'll start to see how people like Kylie were able to get a $1 billion evaluation, right? These things, because it all comes back together. It all comes back to the strategic marketing, and you start to realize, like, oh, okay, that's how they're doing it. How do I emulate that? How do I copy that? How do I put that into my business model and move forward with it? This is a great stopping point. We're going to cut to a break, and then we're going to come back with Corbin Cusack from Aurora IT, wrap up this talk on strategic marketing. Thank you all so much. Hey, Corbin, we're back on the Future Is Now podcast, streaming everywhere. This is a partnership with Aurora IT and Anchor Radio for our new fan base. Please follow us and subscribe on the links below. And again, this is the Future Is Now podcast. We were just wrapping up our topic today about strategic marketing and how to implement strategic marketing into your overall business plan. What we just were speaking to, Corbin, if you can go back to that for a moment.
Yeah, so we were basically just talking about how celebrities and influential musicians, people in the news, people in the media, movie stars kind of use their platforms and use what they're doing and the fact that the paparazzi follows them around everywhere to kind of market products and market their albums and market various things like that. So basically going off of that, I just have a bunch of, you know, different examples, right? So this is kind of going to be like the last part of the show, right, where we just go off on different examples, talk about different examples. I don't really have any key points, but just some things that I see in the news that are working for companies. Mm-hmm. And things that, like, are not traditional forms of marketing, but you know,
I think I know what you're going to get into, and I think they get
people to resonate with it. So one thing that I find funny is, like, social media usage of by brands. I don't know if this is what you thought I was going to get into, but social media usage by brands and, like, how they present themselves online, right? So one thing that I find hilarious is there's a lot of fast food chains that have Twitters, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're all feuding.
This is not what I thought you were going to get into, by the way, but I like this topic.
We can talk about that. We can talk about that next. But basically, okay, all these fast food chains have
they have Twitter handles. They have their Twitter.
And basically, what happened is I don't know if Wendy's let an intern run their Twitter or, like, what happened, but basically Wendy's Twitter started roasting people. And, like, making fun of other sandwich shops, making fun of, like, competitors, stuff like that, and people loved it. Like, they're literally asking Wendy's to roast them. Like, you can go look at Wendy's tweets. They're some of the funniest tweets by, like, an actual company I've ever seen. But you can, like, go through, look at all their tweets, and, like, it's just so funny to me that, like, and that costs them zero money. They're maybe paying someone to tweet for them, right? But it's a campaign that, like, I don't even think Wendy's thought they would be doing.
I don't think it's,
right? And it caught.
I think it's one of those organic things that happen in social media because there is engagement and your audience and your fans can engage with your content and other brands can engage with you. So I think just naturally they realize when somebody, because what happened was another brand, a bigger brand, you know, had a commercial where they basically were saying you should buy our product over Wendy's because of this. So Wendy's was able to go on their Twitter and basically take shots at them, right? Like, you know, playful banter between the two companies where they were making jokes and people loved it. They absolutely like loved that concept and idea
because it gives it a personal, you know, like a personal touch to a big name brand, right?
Exactly. And then we started to see other brands, bigger brands, give light to smaller brands, and they can go back and forth and be funny and be, you know, witty. And it all comes from a place of love, but it is.
Yeah, it's all fun and games, right? It's not like they're competing, but they also satisfy different markets, right? And like kind of playing off of each other, right? So it's like friendly banter that has a little bit of competition, but it's friendly banter.
And it does well. People love it. It really, it helps you trend. It helps you go viral, and it helps. It really helps both brands because people are like, no, I like McDonald's. No, I like Wendy's. And then they, boom, they go online and they can. They could go behind that. And so I think it was a great idea. I think it was a great concept. I think it was something that just organically happened because of Twitter and because of the power of the internet and of social media. So I really like that.
What did you think I was going to touch on?
Oh, well, I love Wendy's. Shout out to Wendy's. Shout out to Wendy's on their Twitter. Those guys are great and sponsor us or anything, but that was a great point. What I thought you were going to say is this new trend that we've been seeing that you actually brought up earlier, where there's a lot of hype behind cryptocurrencies, and there's a lot of hype behind like Bitcoin and
blockchain
and blockchain, right? And how some businesses that aren't even in the space have been adding those keywords to
their website doing domain. Campaigns.
And, to their actual business name. Like, there's a lot of companies that are just spinning up a lot of penny stocks is where it came from. A lot of penny stocks were just adding blockchain or adding cryptocurrency to their title, and immediately overnight their stocks skyrocketed because people are associating blockchain and cryptocurrencies with the future. And this is a business that has, you know, they don't even work in those spaces, but they added it to their domain name, they added it to their IPO in order to increase. So I wanted to talk about that and how just the trending topics are so powerful now. These new future technologies are so powerful. Older businesses that maybe cannot, you know, invest in blockchain are like, oh, let's add it to our name so we can capitalize on that SEO.
So yeah, Facebook releases a thing. Hey, we're going to make our own cryptocurrency. Their stock prices go up. Smaller companies add crypto or blockchain to the name. Stock prices go up.
Yeah.
Oscar Mayer makes a Bitcoin, I think. And like all of a sudden people are buying Bitcoins. McDonald's has the Maccoin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like they call it the Maccoin, but it's not a cryptocurrency. Like it's not even on a blockchain, like it's not even backed by crypto. They're just capitalizing on like the market trend. So no, you hit the nail on the head that literally just adding like a name or something like that is going on in the news. But also, this is another going back to, I think it was a 6 point or fifth point about risk. Like this is kind of a risky strategy, right? Like,
oh, it is. Yeah.
Like it could be well received or not well received based on, you know, how you do it, if you're tactful with it, those types of things. So,
and it's kind of a cheat code, right? If you're a penny stock, your business, you're struggling, you're trying to navigate through the waters of business, and instead of like refocusing on your idea and say, okay, this isn't working, let's pivot, let's change, let's go in a different course, maybe let's actually jump on blockchain technology and have that as an offering. They would. It's like, you know, let's just add it to our name, make some money, and try to go from there. And I don't like to look at things as a negative. I look at it as a positive. Like, oh, that's working for them. So companies like Aurora IT that are actually in the space, companies like Aknu that actually give advice on how to invest in cryptocurrencies. And for those of you guys that don't know, that's Corbin's, one of his brands, Aknu. You can follow them on Twitch and Instagram. You know, it gives us hope because we see, okay, we are doing the right things. We are playing in the right space and we can continue to grow and succeed and be part of this future landscape of business. And it's funny to me because I see these older companies trying to catch up and that's still their way of thinking, right? Like, oh, the best way to catch up is just to throw that name on my domain name or throw that name on my IPO, and we can go from there. And so to me, I'm like, okay, this is really funny. It's getting out of hand. But that shows you the power of the internet, the power of the SEO. Like people say SEO is dead. It's not dead. It's just changed. You know, it's different platforms and outlets. It's YouTube, it's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's LinkedIn, it's Twitter. It's not just Google anymore, right? There's too many different outlets that people are using to search for content and to search for products and services that the SEO landscape has changed. So my best advice to businesses that are trying to get into the internet that might not know how, well, it was great that Wendy's was able to hire an intern and they took it to the next. That's very rare. I suggest that you outsource this portion of your business to a firm that really understands social media marketing. And
and you got to look at behind the scenes. Wendy's does have, you know, that for, well, they don't have a firm. They might actually outsource to a firm, right? But they probably have internal people, or like you said, they outsource to a firm. So that's a very good point. Like,
well, that's
you can't do everything yourself,
right?
You
got
to stick to your strengths.
Right?
Yeah.
Not to cut you off, but that's probably why they hired an intern to run it, because they do outsource to a firm and they can say, okay, the intern can just handle the, you know, the day-to-day actual phone portion of the social media where the firm creates the content and goes from there. But it just so happened that they gave this intern a lot of freedom and they were able to do these things. And as a business, like for us as a business, I have social media is on my phone. It's on a couple of the other people that are, you know, upper executives at the company. I know the people that we outsource to. I'm not going to plug their names just yet, but we do have plans for that. They have access to it. So it's kind of like a collaborative effort where we come together and we develop our social media plan, and we're able to disseminate it and distribute it globally. But more importantly, that gives the perception that Aurora IT is able to engage with our audience and with our fan base all the time, no matter what's going. If I'm busy, I know that the other people, you know, they could do it. So it gives you so much flexibility, and it actually gives you control, physical control of your brand, where you're not just dependent on a marketing company to build an advertiser and put it on TV and you're stuck with that. No, you can change it. You can adapt it. You can choose who you follow. You can choose the type of content and hashtags that you put on your content. And that's really how you're going to grow and find your true organic, unique audience. You're not trying to just copy what the competition's doing and capitalize on their audience, but you're growing your own organic audience. And there's going to be bleed over. Go back to the Bush Latte example. They know that people that drink coffee also drink alcohol, right? That's,
yep.
They know that. So instead of like trying to steal from Budweiser or Cop, no, they developed a strategy where there's going to be bleed over and co-branding between Starbucks's campaigns and their campaigns. And those people are going to resonate with both brands, and they have a stronger chance of gaining that dollar. And I really like that. And that is one of the last things I want to talk about is competitor analysis. And then I'm going to turn it over to Corbin. I'm going to ask him a question, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. Unfortunately, we're running out of time on today's episode, but I think we had a lot of good things to talk about. So let's just briefly talk about competitor analysis. There's a quote, I'm not sure who it's from, but good artists copy, great artists steal. And what that means, I'm going to say it again, good artists copy, great artists steal. And what that means is, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a person in business, as a manager and executive, you want to look at your competitors' analysis year after year. You want to see what they're doing, because you do. If it's working, you want to emulate them. If they're spending marketing dollars on a certain platform and a certain revenue, and they're a direct competitor with you, or even an indirect competitor with you, and they're succeeding, you're going to want to copy that. You're going to want to look at that data. You're going to want to see how much money they spend. You're going to see how much money they made back. You're going to want to copy those ideas, because they work. You don't reinvent the wheel, guys. You know, take what's working and adapt it to your brand and your image and your ideas, and just, you know, literally take what they're doing and put your own touch on it, put your own spin on it, and you're going to succeed.
It's a savage quote, but I like it. Yep.
It's a true quote, because everything comes from something. We live in 2018. It's not a lot of things that are going to get invented. It's a lot of things that are going to get innovated. You're going to make things
small innovations, incremental innovations, sometimes large innovations, but they've been worked on and developed over, you know, centuries, right?
Yeah.
That idea has always been there.
But so. how you refine that idea and how you present it to the audience is what you as a business owner had control over. There's only going to be so many more things that are invented, and, you know, business has to go on. So if you sell audio speakers, or if you sell, you know, a service like you do landscaping, you just want to take the ideas and the marketing concepts that work and adapt them to your business and be smart and strategic about it and not just feel overwhelmed. So I really like the idea that you take what's works, take what other people that are doing that's working, and put your own touch on it. Let's go back to the first example we gave with Tony Stark in the Marvel movies and the Audi and the HP laptops, right? You might not be able to do what Audi did and invest in such a large movie, but you could take that idea and adapt it to your business. If your friend has a YouTube page, or if you have a Netflix series, or anything that you really want to create and get around, you can take the ideas of what worked in the past and adapt it to your business. And now you have product placement. Now you have, you know, co-branding. Now you have digital marketing and content creation strategies based on things that you've already seen work in the business landscape, things that are already trending, that are doing well. Take those ideas and make them your own and put them out. It's not copyright. No, don't copyright. I'm not saying forge and steal. I'm saying take what works, adapt it to your.
But you can't copyright copyright some great strategies, things like that, right? Like, you can have a process patent, things like that, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about marketing. It's a very organic thing. It's a very, you know, spur of the moment thing, really. Like, what's hot for marketing now isn't going to be the same. Like,
and the Busch Latte example is great. Starbucks doesn't own the fall season, right? They don't.
No. They don't own lattes. They don't own the word latte.
Exactly. But
they don't own Twitter. They don't own, you know.
But you took their idea and they made it their own, and boom, and now you see it's very successful. So I really like that. Do you have any last points before I jump into my question?
No. The only point I would have about, you know, you just have to make sure that the things that you take from competitors also apply to your business, right? Like, if you're a nice family friendly business, you might not want to go roasting people on Twitter like Wendy's, right?
Yes.
or if you do a service, maybe a name change won't work for you. You know, so ultimately you have to honestly assess the different strategies, but I mean, there's plenty of strategies out there on the internet for you to look at. Plenty of examples of success out there for you to look at. Get a list, right? Get a list of 10, 15 strategies. Go down the line. Okay, what is my message? Who are my consumers? What environment am I messaging my consumers in? And which one of these strategies will work? And, like, you can try them all, really.
Yeah, no, trial and error. I mean, that's a great way, Corbin. That's a great way. Also, reach out to the subject matter experts. Pay for consulting. Pay the companies that, if you like Wendy's and you say, okay, who's running Wendy's social media? Oh, this person? Let me reach out to that person and see if we can develop a strategy together that's going to help my brand take to the next level.
Yeah. You don't know unless you ask. Right?
Exactly. So. Always ask. Always network. Always put yourself out there. No is the most powerful yes, because every time someone tells you no, that's one step closer to getting the yes that you're looking for, right? And one step closer to you saying, oh, they said no, cool, I'm gonna move. They're not with what I'm building, or they don't fully understand. So let me reword it. Let me remarket it. Let me continue to push forward. Every no is a yes. Like, I'm trying to tell people that, because I think that's very important. People give up too early on their dream. Yeah. You know, 20 people told them no, so they're like, oh, this is not gonna work. Well, no, that's not true.
And sometimes the no is strictly business, right? Like, it's not personal, and sometimes people take no's as personal, but really it's like maybe you could have literally the best offering in the marketplace, but the person you talk to, like, doesn't have the money for it. That no is not a reflection on you, right? It's a reflection on the business and the situation
at that particular time. And they may have said no today, but 6 months from now it's a yes, right? That no is really like,
you're okay, still in their mind, right?
Exactly, 100%. So the traditional question I ask is, at the end of every interview, I ask, what is one thing that you can leave our audience with? And today in particular, I want to leave it with, what is one marketing strategy, Corbin, that if you could just leave our audience with one thing that you think they should look into, do research on, or invest in, what would that be? And I know, coming from the crypto landscape, you are the cryptocurrencies and those things. You can even speak to that. But I really want you to leave people with a little bit of insight.
Ooh, that is tough. One marketing technique. So I would say that, honestly, obviously you need to use the internet. That's a given. I don't, like, that's not my tip, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you have to, like, that's the law. But my tip is to be human, like, be mm-hmm. genuine in your marketing. Like, don't come off like a robot, right? Because that's what people are getting away from. They like the human touch. They like interaction, right? They like you stated previously, that if people tweet at Aurora IT, the CFO, the CEO, like the board, like, those are the people answering the tweets, right? So, yeah. Like, that's a personal touch that other businesses can't boast. And I think in a world of fakeness, right? Like, there's a lot of fake news. I don't want to use that term, but
hashtag fake news, hashtag trending topics.
Right? But oh, yeah. There's a lot of fake news, right? There's a lot of, like, stuff going on. Like, there's a lot of ridiculous, right? So I think people really resonate with humbleness, really resonate with being human, right? Really resonate with that side of things, and less about beep boop, beep boop. This is a minute and a half advertisement that, you know, doesn't really consider you or anything like that. We're just trying to get our brand out there. No, it's like, we're interacting with you on a personal level, invoking feelings within you, right? With our interactions. I think that's the key,
human
that
touch.
I would leave with people. So yeah, human touch, like, be human in your marketing efforts, really.
People buy from people, right? In 2018, yeah. That's what it is, human touch. That was Corbin Cusack, VP of Sales and Marketing at Aurora IT. This is the Future Is Now podcast. Everybody have a great day.